All right, go ahead and get your Bible out if you would, please. And I just want you to turn to one verse here this morning. Please stand and turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, and verse number 17. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse number 17. The Bible says, "They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one," and notice this part of the verse, "that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you." Now, in this particular chapter, Jeremiah is warning of false prophets and what they are saying and how the people are being engulfed by that, swayed by that. But notice what he says. He says, "They speak a vision of their own heart," verse number 16, "and not out of the mouth of the Lord." And then he begins to talk to those people that's listening to it and talks about how the people are walking, how they're living. And he says they're after the imagination of his own heart. That people, the imagination or the feelings. Remember what we began last Sunday? The emotions, the thinkings of your own heart. And he said that's how people are walking. Now, Rene Descartes, the French philosopher, said years ago, "I think, therefore I am." How many of you remember that? Well, this morning I'm going to preach, "I feel, therefore I fail." That's a lot more accurate than what that nonsense he ever said. Now, you remember last Sunday I began a three-part series entitled "The Fallacy of Feelings." And last Sunday, I preached to you the first message in that series by the title of "Sabotage by Subjection." And I told you that your feelings are always, or your emotions are always subjective. And I told you that your feelings go up and down, up and down, up and down like a roller coaster. You have a variety of feelings in one day. So if you're a person that's led by your feelings and you go by your intuitions, you're in trouble. The Bible says that the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. And I warned you about that. I told you that sometimes our feelings can be inconsistent, unreliable, illogical, and worst of all, unscriptural. I told you that our feelings, and when I say that, I mean our position or our thinking or our opinion on something, is often influenced by fear or worry or anger, anxiety. Sometimes it's influenced by past tragedy, past experiences, trauma, physical or mental illness. It all influences it. But the only thing you and I can depend on is the precious Word of God. Amen. That is the standard. That is the measurement of how we're feeling and what we're experiencing and how we'll look at things. And do you remember that I told you a few things last Sunday? I told you that if you are ran by your feelings and ran by your emotions and ran by your desires and you don't have any control over that and your emotions control you and you don't control your emotions, remember, I told you that you will not be a stable Christian. Up and down, in and out, in and out. You will not be a stable Christian. I told you last Sunday that you will often make logical and spiritual decisions. You'll make the wrong ones. They won't be logical. They won't be spiritual. You'll make your decisions based on emotions. And you are never going to do it right when you're in an emotional state. I told you, number three, that you will not have assurance of salvation. And for the man or a woman that walks around and says, "I feel saved," or "I don't feel saved," that means absolutely nothing. I told you some people can feel saved and be on their way to hell, and some people cannot feel saved and be just as saved as anybody in this room here this morning. I'm not saved by how I feel. I'm saved by putting my faith in what he did. That's the only way you're going to get to heaven, and the only way you can have assurance of salvation is just to believe what that book said about salvation. And then I told you that you will not escape depression, worry, anxiety, and fear. And again, I also went and told you, I know some of it's clinical and some of it's a physiological thing, but I'm talking about a great majority of what we go through is a result of the way we think and the way we feel and letting our emotions and our thinking run out of control and get a hold of us and our emotions and thoughts taking us captive, when the Bible says that you and I are to take every thought captive. So I tried to warn you about being sabotaged by subjection. When you're subjective and when you go by your feelings, it's always subjective. You're going to be sabotaged because then you don't have a standard. Then you don't have a clear marker as what is right, what is wrong. And your opinion is just as good as anybody else's. And when you have that, you can't. There's no way that you can grow in the Lord and be what he wants you to be. I'm asking you to consider this as we move into our next message here this morning and pray about this. Listen, folks, we as Christians cannot be ran by our emotions. Our emotions are deceptive. They're wicked. Sometimes, remember, I talked to you about them being sensual sometimes. We cannot be controlled by our feelings. It is amazing to me how quickly I can go to a bad place in my mind if I don't quickly change my thinking. Brother, I'm telling you, I can get up and just be doing so great and everything fine, and one thing get in there and it goes to playing around like a record. Now, some of you young folks don't know what a record is, but we used to go to the record store and buy the record. You know, I bought a record of the Eagles. That's one of my first ones I brought, but I would have went off the edge here with the Eagles. But anyway, it gets to playing around in your head over and over and over and over, and pretty soon it has messed your whole day up. Now, am I the only one in here that ever had that happen? You know what that is? If you don't take every thought captive, if you don't get your emotions under control, you and I are destined for failure. You understand that? So today I want to continue this, and then I'm going to preach something that will end the series, Lord willing, next Sunday, that's totally different. But this is sort of like a dovetailing on the message last Sunday. I'm going to preach to you, I feel, therefore I fail. And what I'm going to tell you is this. I'm going to tell you about five things you're going to fail at. Listen to me. At least five things you're going to fail at if you are ran by your emotions and not the Spirit of God through illuminating this book to you. This is the truth. And everything else we feel is not. It might be right, it might not, but this thing is always right. I have a friend here today, Brother Paul Ionello, as pastor for many years, and now he's an evangelist and doing work for the Lord. And I'm glad to have you here, brother. Hopefully we're gonna get him back to do some preaching for us. He's a blessing. Brother, would you pray for this message here today and pray for these folks and pray that God will use this to help somebody?
Father, we thank you for the privilege which is ours to be here today underneath the teaching and preaching of your word.
Yes, Lord.
I pray, Father, that we not be led by our emotions. Our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked.
Yes.
Lord, the scripture clearly tells us thy word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto thy feet.
Yes.
Yes. Brother Dennis, unction from on high, God.
Yes, Lord.
Filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and God prepare the seed which is to come.
Yes.
That it might bring forth fruit under the glory of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
For it's in his name we pray.
Amen. 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 Thank you. You can be seated. So let's just get right on into the message this morning. Number one, I think, I feel rather, therefore I fail. What are you going to fail at in life? What is going to fail if you're ran by your feelings and your emotions rather than what the Bible says and what sound teaching and preaching tells you that comes from God's book? Number one, you're going to fail to do right when you want to do wrong. Well, amen. Number one, you and I are going to fail to do right when we want to do wrong. You and I will not do right when times are hard. If I don't feel like reading my Bible, then I won't. If I don't feel like going to church, then I won't. If I don't feel like praying, then I won't. If I don't feel like going on visitation, then I won't. But that's not, that's subjective. And don't you know how insane that is to say, I'm not going to do anything for the Lord unless I feel like it. Listen, I explained to you this morning in Sunday school. There's sometimes I get up in the pulpit, I'm happy and eager and ready to go, and I'm looking forward to getting up there. And sometimes I'm just doing my duty. But it's got nothing to do with whether I enjoy preaching or don't, or what's going on in the church, or what's going on in my personal life. It is my duty to feed the people about 11:30 every Sunday, no matter what's going on. And I don't base it on emotions. I don't base it on feelings. We have too many Christians now that says, well, you know, if I don't feel this, if I don't feel that, and it just didn't strike me just right. What do you mean it just didn't strike you just right? Listen to me, and you listen well. You don't need a voice when you have a verse. And if that's what you're looking for, you just don't you talk about the dumb old charismatics in the church down the road or whatever. You're just as bad, Bible believer. Always got to have a feeling, always got to have a voice. Always, you know, I'm just always praying. Listen, I'm going to tell you something else. There's some things that you and I do not have to ever pray about. I don't have to pray about whether I commit adultery or not. I've heard folks say stupid stuff like that. Well, we're just living together, and when I feel convicted about it, we'll break up. You don't need to feel convicted about it. You done seared your conscience. The Bible says you don't do it. There ain't nothing to pray about. You're wasting your time praying. You know why? Because you're looking for some kind of subjective response. Well, I believe God showed me something. Well, I believe he did too already 2,000 years ago. But what you have now is Christians, they ignore what the Bible says. They ignore good scriptural principles and teaching. And they go by emotion. And that's why many times the FBI can't find some of them. There's some people today that ought to be here. But they woke up this morning and they did not feel like coming. There's some of you this week, you didn't feel like reading your Bible. I don't always feel like reading my Bible. You didn't feel like praying. I didn't feel like coming out on visitation Saturday. Well, we had a good visitation Saturday. I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like doing that. I don't want to do this. Okay. But you're not going to do the hard things. Listen, you're not going to stand for truth when others don't. You will not stand for truth when others don't if you're ran by your emotions and your feelings. Now, I don't think anybody's resisting me in here right now, but it's pretty rough, pretty dead. And you know why? Because I know somebody that don't want you to buy into this. You know who he is? He looks like this right here. That ain't how he really looks, but that's how he's drawn, see? So I'll just do that for you. Dr. Ruppman said he always drew wings on the angels, because if he didn't draw wings on the angels, wouldn't nobody know he's drawing angels. But you and I that study the Bible know that the Bible never says angels has wings. You do know that, don't you? It never says the devil runs around with a pitchfork and horns like this. But now you know who I'm talking about when I say that. Now, he's the one that wants to disrupt this thing here today. Because if you get a hold of this, you'll get some victory. Because sometimes you've just got to grin and bear and just do your duty because it's right. And it doesn't matter if you enjoy doing it or not. We are so sensual and so stinking in this Laodicean church age with these dumb, spoiled Americans, Brother Dan, that we think if it don't feel good and benefit me and I ain't all excited about it and it don't make me just feel real great inside, I'm not fooling with it. I'm glad Christ didn't have that attitude going up that hill to Calvary. I'm glad the apostles didn't have that attitude. I'm glad the early church that suffered and died so we can get something going here didn't have that attitude. And I'm praying that God will help us not to have that attitude. It's not based on how I feel. It's not based on my emotions. It's based on truth. We're just not going to do right when we really want to do wrong. If we go by our emotions. There are some things sometimes that I do, and I'll go on to the next point, because I really love the Lord. And I feel that love in my heart. I feel it. Going on feelings. But sometimes there's a good bit in my Christian life that I do And I'm not proud of this, but I'm just going to be honest with you. Sometimes I don't feel as close to the Lord at times as I do other times. So, like, I just had these two meetings back to back, and I'm tired. I'm been distracted. Or like last night, I did not sleep good at all. Woke up this morning feeling bad. Didn't have a good rest. Didn't get whatever. And so this morning, to be honest with you, I can't say like I am usually. I'm like, man, thank you, Lord. I'm glad I have a church. I'm glad I got a place to preach. Lord, thank you for calling me of all people to preach. And I hope I can do something, first of all, that'll make you happy this morning. And second of all, that'll help my people get closer to you. Well, today is more of one of those times, Brother Dan, where this is what God told me to do, and I'm going to do it. I don't feel as good as I usually do. I'm not as excited about it as I usually am. But it's just as important. And me helping you is just as important as it is on the days when we got a big crowd. We got some folks missing this morning. And we got a lot of excitement. Everybody amen. And we don't have none of that this morning. It's just as important as your pastor that I feed you to the best of my ability. It's just as important as your pastor that I, listen, that I conduct myself and do right today when I don't supposedly feel so much like doing right as I do on the days when it's easy to do right. You hear me? Do you hear me? That's true Christian character. Doing right when it ain't easy to do right and you don't even feel like doing right. But if you and I are ran by our emotions, we'll never get a hold of that. Number two, not only will we fail to do right when we want to do wrong, we will fail to obey difficult passages. When there's a passage that you don't agree with or don't understand, a good example of that is those boys over there in John chapter 6. Yeah, I really believe if they would have just stayed around long enough, Jesus would have explained that thing to them and the light would have went off and he would have said, he ain't talking about us eating his flesh. This is a spiritual thing. But they got offended in it. And possibly, I do believe this, sometimes Jesus would say things to purposely run the folks off that don't mean business. Now, I know you modern day Christians, you don't believe that Jesus would ever say anything to purposely run folks off that don't mean business, but I do. He did do it. And he knew all men's heart, the Bible says, and he knew who meant business and who wasn't. And the ones that stuck around, listen, the ones that stuck around through the hard sayings and the hard teaching and scratched their head and said, what in the world did he mean by that? We're going to come in here and be eating one another and eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Man, that's crazy. I've never even seen a horror movie that had cannibalism in it. I don't want to. Man, I'm out of here. I'm going to see you, Jesus. Wouldn't want to be you. And Jesus is up there like, yep. I already knew that about you anyway. When the going got tough, the cowardly got out. I knew that about you anyway. But I just turned a little bit, just expose you. Everybody all right? Let me tell you something, folks. There's going to be some hard passages, some hard sayings, and some hard things that you and I don't understand, and we can't for the life of us understand what God's doing in our life right now. And he's not going to expect us necessarily to agree with it or to enjoy it or to like it or anything like that, but he just expects us to trust him and obey him through the entire situation until he gives us more light on it. That's our job. And you don't get in an emotional state and make rash decisions and bail out. Do you know what? I really believe, Brother Paul, if those men would have stayed around just a little bit longer, and if they had, listen, if they had had the right heart, that was their problem. If they'd had the right heart, all that stuff would have made perfect sense to them. And they would have continued with Jesus. They didn't remain with him. They went out from him because they were not of him. That's what the passage later on says. Now listen. If you and I are ran by our feelings and ran by our emotions and ran by how I don't like this, I do like this, I prefer this, I don't prefer that, I want this, I don't want that, and all that, rather than just what does the Bible say? Not how you got up this morning feeling. What does the Bible say about it? You and I are never going to be nothing but a soup sandwich for the Lord. If you don't nail it down, You're not going to obey the difficult passages. Passages that are contrary to your feeling are contrary to decisions you have already made. Sometimes you and I make a decision and we take a stand on something or we do something and we realize that the Bible says something very differently. And once we find out what the Bible says about it, we repent and we try to get back in line with the Bible, not continue on down the road making excuses. Well, I know the Bible says that, but. And I know the Bible teaches that, but. But you don't understand my particular situation. See, it's situational ethics. The Bible is all right in this situation, but if this ever happens, we can't go by the Bible anymore, see? And I know what Jesus said, but look, man, I'm the one down here going through this, and I just feel, see, there we go, I got you already. And I just feel, and the way I just look at it, and the way I've always thought, and the way I was brought up, and the way I was taught, and I tell you what, I've really prayed about this thing, brother. I really prayed about that, and the Lord stirred me up. No, the Lord didn't stir you up in your heart about anything. He already told you in that book what he thought about it. And you're letting your emotion run you and not that book. Would you take it from somebody that's battled this in his life? Your emotion will absolutely kill you spiritually. And for many of us, it will kill you physically. You cannot be ran by your emotions and your feelings. They are deceptive. They are fleshy. They're not right. They're not right. Do you understand that? They're not right. I hope you just don't even think I'm preaching at you. I'm preaching to you. I want to help you. I'm not trying to be condescending. I got just as much trouble with this stuff as you do. But we got to get a hold of this if you're going to survive as a Christian in this day and time, and if this church is going to survive. And do right. Keep on doing right. We got to get a hold of it. Desperately. Number three, you will fail in your marriage and any other relationship. Now, I'm going to try to stay contained on this, but you better listen to me. You better listen well. If you're ran by your emotions, you are not going to be a good spouse. You're not going to be a good husband. You're not going to be a good wife. You're not going to stay faithful. You're not going to stay married. And you're not going to do what's right. I don't know how many times I've talked to people over the years, down there and up here, and all the time I've been in the ministry, that says some of the stupidest things I've ever heard a Christian say. Well, I just don't feel like I'm in love anymore. I feel like I'm not in love, and I just really believe I ought to be happy. I already feel the rage. No, what you mean, sucker, is you ought to go out and live like a whore and then make your kids and wife pay for it. And that makes you happy? You're full of the devil. That's exactly right. Whoever's out there listening, that goes to you too. What, you think God put you on this world to make you? Everybody just relax now. Everything I'm saying is right. Just because it crosses you, you get over it. Just take you some Maalox. You'll be all right. Your stomach will settle down here in a minute. I know you're used to hearing preachers with lace on their drawers and all that kind of stuff. You don't get that here. Amen. Everybody all right? I'm ready to preach a little bit now. I done got angry up here. I hope it's righteous anger. If it's not, forgive me. But I'm sick and tired of these people talking about falling out of love, and I just don't care. And I just, you know, it's amazing to me that every time a man falls out of love with his wife, he falls in love with somebody 20 years younger. That's about 75 pounds lighter. You're full of the devil. Full of the devil. That's exactly right. Keep looking at me and see if I don't think up something else to say about it. You will never be in a good marriage doing that. And by the way, if you're so concerned with the size of her hips now, brother, her hips are big because she bore children for you, you idiot. Well, I just don't like his tone. Well, turn your hearing off, hate off, bless God, because the next 5 or 10 minutes is just going to stay like this. I done shifted up in another gear up in here. I'm sick and tired of this. You can't have a good marriage based on emotions. Maybe I shouldn't tell this, but I'm in one of them moves. I remember when I was in Bible college years ago, I hadn't even got married yet, and a fellow was talking to a preacher down there, and he said, I knew the honeymoon was over. He said, you know how I knew the honeymoon was over? I said, no, brother, how'd you know the honeymoon was over? He said, when I went in the bathroom to shave and get ready, and I turned around, and my wife was on the toilet, the honeymoon was over. That's what's wrong with some of you. That's what's wrong with some of you. All you think about is all the stuff that smells good and looks good and goes good. You're not committed for real marriage. I'm going to tell you something else, bless God. If you ain't old enough and big enough to pay bills and go to work and sacrifice, keep your arms off of her. You ain't big enough to go to work and get married, you ought not be touching her. That Bible says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. I'm telling you something right now. This nonsense about I fell out of love and I don't love her no more and I don't care anymore and I don't have these feelings anymore and all that, that's of the devil. And if you don't never fall in love with her again or him again, you've got no right to leave. I'm going to go ahead and tell you something else that bothers me. This no-fault divorce. I'm sick and tired of that. I know some of you squirming to feel a little bit uncomfortable. I'm just coming out here right here where I'm with you. You know what that no-fault divorce is? And this ain't nobody's fault. We're just incompatible. You're crazy. You're crazy. And this is what they'll do nowadays. They'll say, well, everybody does wrong or everybody's a sinner. This is Christians' way of getting around that because they're carnal and wicked too. Everybody's a sinner. Everybody, yes, everybody's a sinner. Everybody does wrong in the marriage. That's why the Bible tells you there's some reasons why you can biblically get a divorce and reasons you can't. If he leaves the toilet seat up, you can't divorce him. He don't squeeze the toothpaste like you want, you can't divorce him. Don't you run and tell me, Miss Sir, don't you run and tell me how she's a sinner and what's wrong with her when you're the one that's the adulterer and she's been faithful to you and you say, well, we're all sinners, it's no fault, we're all to blame. No, sir, no, sir, you're to blame, man, you're to blame. You're the fornicator, you're the adulterer, you're to blame. I don't care what her problem is, she stayed faithful to you, you're running around like a whoremonger, you're to blame. That's exactly right. I'm tired of it. And if some of you had to deal with it as much as I did, you'd be tired of it too. The hurt and the pain and the suffering and the sorrow I've seen people go through that did everything they could to be a good spouse and married to some old sucker that don't even care. I'm tired of it. And I'm not giving them an excuse. They're wrong. But you know what causes that? Well, I just ain't feeling it no more. I just don't feel. You reckon when she rolls over there, used to have a long, dark hair, you bald-headed. You reckon when she rolls over there and smells your dragon breath in the morning, see your old pot belly exposed out from under your T-shirt, you reckon she's still happy? I doubt it. I'm going to try to calm down and get back on track here. I've been running some rabbits. A lot of times people think I'm mad, and I'm not even mad. I'm not even mad. I really ain't. But today I'm a little mad. If you say, I think Brother Dennis is mad, you're right. I am mad. Tired of it. Tired of it. In other relationships, listen, you go by your emotions, you're not going to be a good friend. You're not going to be a good friend. Nobody can depend on you. A few more. If you go by your emotions and how you feel, you're going to fail to please God. You're not going to please God. You know what that Bible says about that? It says that without faith, not feeling, without faith, it is impossible to please God, to please Him. And listen, folks, feelings are not faith. But if you go by your feelings will trump your faith. And once your feelings begin to trump your faith, you are erratic. You are erratic, and that we cannot depend on you. You might be here, you might not. You might show up, you might not. We don't know. Do you know why? I'm not trying to be ugly, but let me go ahead and say this, and I am calming down, thank God. The reason some of you, we cannot depend on you to get in lock, stock, and barrel, is you're still over there fooling around with your emotions. You're still over there fooling around with your feelings. Well, I'm tired, and I'm upset, and I'm this, and I'm that, and I don't know about that, and this. No. 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 Our Savior is worth much more than a cheap emotion. He's worth a commitment. And if I can love my wife, regardless of my emotions, because it's a choice of the will, and I can love my church and my friends, regardless, because it's a choice of the will, I ought to love my Savior because it's a choice of the will. Love, in many ways, is a verb. It's action. It's not an emotion. It's a commitment. It's a choice of the will. I'll throw this in as we're getting ready to get to the last point here in a moment. I know that Charles Stanley doesn't preach out of the King James Bible, and there's some things I disagree with him on, but Charles Stanley's preached some good messages in his life, and I've got some blessings out of listening to some of the stuff he preached. Charles Stanley said something I thought was real good years ago. I got a hold of. Charles Stanley was preaching on forgiveness. And Charles Stanley said this. He said, you have to remember about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a choice of the will. It's not an emotion. He says, so what you do is, you say, I forgive, and I choose to forgive. And once I forgive, and I go down the road somehow, and something comes back up, the devil brings it back up, or I think about it again, and I start having those same bitter feelings or unforgiveness. This is what Charles Stanley said. Charles Stanley said, it's at that time I say, no, no. With my will, I have already made a choice that I'm going to forgive and go on, and I'm not going to acknowledge my feelings. See, it's the same way with standing in state. I reckon myself dead because I'm already dead. And I say, I am dead. I am dead in Christ. I am dead in Christ. I am crucified with him. So now I can practically do something. And Charles Stanley said this, and I found it to be true. Whenever those feelings keep coming up, he said, I just go back with my will, not my emotion, not my feeling. With my will, I chose to forgive them. He said, and after a while, your emotion matches your will. But the emotion don't come first. You get it? You say, I'm standing on the truth, and I'm not going to let my feelings dictate to me what I've done. I made the right choice for the Lord. My feelings will just have to catch up later. You got it? You got it? Boy, there's some truth in what that man said. We're not going to please God. And finally, we're going to fail at the judgment seat of Christ, which is the worst point of all. We're going to be bankrupt at the judgment seat of Christ, and here's the reason why. You and I are not going to lay up treasures in heaven, and we are not going to do right when we are ran by our feelings and our emotions and not this book. Because your feelings and emotions are always going to go contrary to this book. And for you and I to lay up anything up in heaven and live a good, productive Christian life, we are at many times in our life, in our relationships, in our commitment to God, just being a neighbor, going to work, we're going to have to say, God, I'm going to do what's right regardless of how I feel. Because doing right is right. And it's got nothing to do with how I feel. Nothing at all to do with how I feel. And I don't want you to fail at the judgment seat of Christ. I don't want you to bomb out. I don't want your marriage to go astray. I don't want you to get out of the will of God. I don't want you to because of some kind of hurt or problem in the church, get out with God. Or I don't want you to do that. But if you and I are ran by our emotions, that is exactly where they'll take you. Your emotions will not, that old deceitful heart of ours, Brother Ionella, you know this, and all the years you pastored, it won't, that deceitful heart and those emotions, they won't take you closer to God. They'll take you farther away. They don't lead you to the book. They lead you away from it, don't they? And so I'm warning you, and I'm warning me, and I'm wanting us to get some help this morning. And dear Christian, I want to say this. You and I are destined for a life of failure when we have a life that is dominated and controlled by our feelings. Because our feelings are often wrong, church. But God's word is always right. Now, which one is going to control your life? Every head bowed and eye closed.